ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ आप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि वाक्प्राणश्चक्षुश्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वम् ब्रह्म उपनिषदम् माहम् ब्रह्म निराकुर्याम् मा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्वनिराकरणम् मे अस्तु तदात्मैरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्मास्ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः सो वि विल् लुक् इन् टु दि फस्ट् पार्ट् आफ् दि केन उपनिषत् कण्टेण्ट्स् नेक्स्ट् क्लास् because better to look into what we already done seen, but today we'll just go straight to the present class. So in the second chapter, second part, prathama khandaha, the first part, dvitiya khandaha, the second part of the Keno Upanishad, actually begins with the teacher's clarification. Which means the teacher, the first chapter, the teaching was done. But having done the teaching, the teacher wanted to make sure whether the student has the right understanding of, correct understanding of Brahman, the reality. Whether he has the aparoksha jnanam of Brahman. Whether he understood the nature of aparoksha jnanam, he wanted to make sure, the beginning of the second chapter. If the student claims, I know Brahman, if he says, that means that knowledge of Brahman, that Brahman, is only a sagunam Brahma. If a student says, I know Brahman, then the Brahman he knows is only a sagunam Brahma or savisesham Brahma or sopadhikam Brahma. Which means a conditioned Brahman, conditioned by a given name and form. Becomes sagunam Savisesham or Sopadhikam Brahma. But here, the Aparoksha Jnanam of Brahman means the right understanding of the reality means it is a here the Upanishad is interested in making the student understand the Nirvisesham, Nirupadhikam, Nirgunam Brahma. Upanishad is not interested in making one understand the Sagunam Brahma. So if the student mistakes this knowledge, Aparoksha Jnanam, or knowledge of Brahman, as a direct experience of Brahman. If the student thinks, yes, I have understood the teaching, I have direct experience of Brahman. If he says, then definitely the direct experience is always of an object. Okay, therefore that Brahman is what we can say only Sagunam Brahma. Any object is Sagunam Brahma only. Qualified. Sagunam means qualified. Therefore he wants to make sure. He wants to make it very clear what is the nature of aparoksha jnanam. So the whole chapter, the second section, the second part of the Keno Upanishad is focused on making it very clear the nature of aparoksha jnanam. So all the mantras, the discussions based on the teaching, the mantras, they all meant, ultimately, they all aim at making the nature of aparoksha jnanam clear. Therefore, the first mantra, the second part, begins with this. Yadi manyase suvedeti. Dabhram or Daharam, the two versions. Daharamevapi noonam. Tvam veta. Brahmano rupam. Yadasya tvam. Yadasya deveshu. Athato. Athano. Mimamsyameva te manye viditam. One next one. Naham manye suvedeti nona vedeti vedacha. Yonas tadveda tadveda. No na vedeti vedacha. Yasyamatam tasyamatam. Matam yasyana vedasaha. Avijnatam vijanatam. Vijnatam avijanatam. Yasyamatam tasyamatam. Matam yasyana vedasaha. Avijnatam vijanatam. Vijnatam avijanatam. This is what we have to do, Narayanji. But anyway, whatever you have seen till now, till the second mantra of the second part, and all the other rest of the mantras of the first part, everything we have to re-look in definitely. Sometime we'll do that later on. Maybe next time we'll be more prepared for those, looking into what is there also. So now let us see this, because having come here, let us start this first Prashna Mantra. We have not yet gone into the... Anyway, let me see the first meaning of this mantra. Then we'll go to the Bhashyam. Yasya amatam tasya matam. I also want to tell some grammatical the aspects here. Yasya amatam tasya matam. See, this yasya and tasya always, yasya is a relative pronoun, you know. Yasya, tasya. The one for whom amatam. Amata means unknown. Mata is a participle. What is amatam? Brahma. Yasya amatam, the one for whom the reality is unknown. Yasya amatam. Na matam, amatam. Amatam. No, the word, it is yasya. You know, you must have, because you must have heard it with you, but you must have taught you this. Yaha. Suppose you take yaha. See, yaha, there is a dakarantaha pullingaha yad shabdaha tasya. No, prathama bhakto, if the first case becomes yaha. Nominative, it is yaha. Yaha means the one who. Like saha means you specifically you say saha, he. Yeshaha, this person. Saha, that person. When you say yaha, the one who. He who. Relative pronoun. the one who, he who, ever row. Now you don't particularly don't say this or that. You say the one who, he who, yaha. So yaha in objective, yam, in instrumental, yena, in dative, yasmai, in ablative, yasmat, in possessive, yasya, and locative, yasmin. It comes like that. So yasya, the one for whom, yavarukku, amatam, brahma amatam, the one for whom the reality is unknown. Because why is amatam is a neutral gender word, see? Brahman is a neutral gender word. Brahma, paramburul, the reality. Amatam is unknown. It means it's not the known. The one for whom reality is not the known. Tasya matam. For him, Brahman is known. Which means he is not ignorant of Brahman. The one for whom Brahman is not the known, he is not ignorant of Brahman, which means what? For him, Brahman is known. Known means what now? How? Brahman is known as the very self. Not as an object, the known, isn't it? Brahman is the very self. Tasya matam. Yasya amatam, tasya matam. But yasya matam, the one for whom Brahman is the known, the one for whom Brahman is not the known, for him Brahman is known. I mean what? He has the correct understanding of Brahman. Tasya matam means he has correct understanding of Brahman, which means he has aparoksha jnanam. He has right understanding of Brahman. He has right understanding of Brahman means he has aparoksha jnanam. He has aparoksha jnanam means what? He, for him, Brahman, Paramatma is not an object but the very self. I don't even use the word subject. For him, Paramatma, Brahman is the very self. This much you have to say that. Yasya amatam, tasya matam. Later we come out. Matam yasya. Yasya matam. The one for whom Brahman the reality is the known. Brahman, the reality becomes the known. The one for whom Brahman is the known. Tasya. Now, sahana veda. He does not know. He does not know the reality. He does not know Brahman. The one for whom Brahman is the known. For him, Brahman is known, which means he has the correct understanding of Brahman. Tasya matam means what? He has the correct understanding of Brahman, has aparoksha jnanam of Brahman, which means for whom? For him, Brahman is not an object, but Brahman is the very self. Yasya matam saha na veda. The one for whom Brahman is the known, tasya saha na veda, he does not know Brahman. Why? Because anything known is an object of knowledge. Any object is which is available for an experience at a given time, given situation, only in a given place, which is finite in nature. Any object of experience is finite in nature. Anything available for experience is finite in nature. We have to say that way. Anything available for experience is finite in nature. Because there's a time when it is available for experience. The situation when it is available for situation, the place where it is available for experience, the time, place and situation, everything being there for a given thing to be available for experience. Anything available for experience is time-bound in nature, finite in nature. Whereas here, the very word Brahman tells what? Which is free from all limitations. Therefore, the one for whom Brahman is the known, he does not know Brahma. Which means he is ignorant of Brahman. He does not have the aproksha jnanam of Param Brahma. He can have the knowledge of Sagunam Brahma. That Brahman he knows is a Sagunam Brahma. The Sagunam Brahma is also two types. Remember, I told you long ago, two types. Anyway, I'll just talk to you again. Sagunam Brahma. That has something to do with the first mantra, so I don't want to confuse you. Avijnatam, same thing is repeated later on. Avijnatam vijanatam, vijnatam avijanatam. The same sentence is put differently, same content is put in next line differently. Vijanatam avijnatam. Vijanata means for those who know. Those who know. Again, it's in the participle, present participle used in the sense of adjective here. See, vijanati means the verb. Vijanati knows. Janati knows. This come from the root jna. Therefore, janati means knows. Vijanati also means knows. Arihiran, arihiral, no? Vijanati. And so, if you make it adjective, arihiravan, the one who knows, if you want to say, vijanan purushaha. So, vijanan, if you, it is a takarantaha pullingaha vijanat shabdaha. And now it becomes vijanan. Vijanan. Then vijanan, you know, vijanantam, vijanata, vijanate, vijanataha, vijanataha, then plural vijanatam. Vijanataha, vijanatoho, vijanatam. Vijanatam, purushanam, manushanam, jananam. For those who know. Vijanatam. Okay. Avijnatam. Avijnatam. Vijnatam again what? From the same word, same for the same root if you take, the same prefix. Jnata is a participle. Jnata again is what? Known. Jnatam, because jnata means known. Vijnatam, known. Avijnatam is what? Na vijnatam, avijnatam, unknown. So, for those who claim that they know Brahman, Brahman is not known. Vijanatam avijnatam. Then, vijnatam avijanatam. Those who say we do not know Brahman. Isn't it? That means what? They do not say that they do not know Brahman. Avijanatam. For those, Brahman is not the known. We take that way. Those for whom Brahman is not the known. Avijanatam. Same thing is repeated. Avijanatam. Okay. Avijanatam. For those who do not know Brahman. Brahman is what? Vijnatam. Very well understood. Clearly understood. Which means both the sentences put differently, the only one same thing is revealed. One thing is very clearly revealed. Okay, Brahman, if Brahman is the known, Brahman is the object of knowledge, then if somebody claims that I know Brahman and said, which means if the Brahman is known as object of knowledge, they have not understood Brahman. Which means they do not have aparoksha jnanam of Brahman. Aparoksha jnanam means what? Jnanam itself means knowledge immediately. Because we are so used to this word knowledge. Knowledge means, knowledge is of what? We have to always ask, knowledge of what? Of what means what? Definitely it is objective knowledge. Knowledge is always of the, is of something means, it is objective only. Knowledge is always of something other than me, the knower. But here, therefore, aparoksha jnana means the knowledge of not an object, but of the very swarupam of the knower, the subject of knowledge. Knowledge of the very swarupam of the knower, subject of knowledge is aparoksha jnanam, which means the self, the object of knowledge is not an object, but the very swarupam of the subject, the very nature of the subject, the knower. The object of knowledge is not an object of knowledge, but the very swarupam of the knower, the subject of knowledge. That is called what? Aparoksha jnanam. Isn't it? Therefore, this the Brahman, the reality, happens to be available for recognition only as the very swarupam, very nature of the knower. It is never an object of knowledge. Because it is never an object of knowledge, you know, we say knowledge of Brahman is only aparoksha jnanam. Therefore, if anybody says that, you know, claims that I know Brahman, which means for them a Brahman becomes an object of knowledge, that means they have not understood Brahman, they do not know Brahma. Avijanatam vijnatam, vijanatam avijnatam. Yasya mat, first sentence is in singular. Yasya matam tasya amatam. Yasya amatam na saha veda. Avijanatam vijatam vijnatam, vijanatam avijnatam. Same thing is said here, which means Brahman is never available. Reality cannot be understood as a, known as an object of knowledge. Which means Brahman can never be an object of experience. Therefore, if people say, especially the very important thing Shankara wants to say is that one can say any experience a person has during the process of meditation can be mistaken for a spiritual experience. Even if you call it a spiritual experience, it is not the knowledge of the reality. Because such an experience is of some form of some definitely Sagunam Brahma only. During the practice of meditation, even if one happens to have some experience, very natural for one to have any sort of experience. That is why those experiences are beyond perception also. That is why when somebody comes and tells you that they have some experiences, you cannot say they did not have proof. You cannot disprove their experiences, nor can you accept their experience because they cannot prove their experience also to you. Is they very personal, isn't it? And then when you said that such experience is not really, that experience is not really enlightenment, that experience is not jnanam, that is not really moksha, if we tell them also, because it's something different, isn't it? It's very difficult for them to accept that, because they feel forced to go against the will, their own experience. When you deny their experience, they get angry also. We cannot deny their experience. We need not deny their experience. Okay, at the same time we need to accept their experience also, because we are not interested in experience. Anything available for experience is finite in nature, finished. What we are interested in is the infinite reality. Isn't it? Infinite reality we need to know. We enter infinite reality. So why should we deny or argue or how great and big or small? Whatever experience they have, let that experience be revered but kept away. That experience need not be really considered, because any experience, isn't it, can give you only that knowledge of, the experience is always of a finite, time-bound object only. That's why we call what Sagunam Brahma. Such experiences if we have also. Suppose vision of something, I get the vision of Krishna. I've been praying, suddenly Krishna walks in and then I see the other vision of Brahma. Such experience one has also. Krishna comes to me, Jesus appears for me. People come and tell all these things. Any such experience, only what? Sagunam Brahma. Everything. That's all. Even Paramahamsa's experience of Kali also is what? Sagunam Brahma only. That is not. There are great experiences, we are not denying it. But we are not interested in such experience. So what is the use of other person having the experience of Kali or Krishna or Rama? Does it help you to solve your problem? Can you resolve your limitations? The problem is this smallness centered on I. The problem, isn't it? The fundamental problem of a human being is what? Is it? The smallness being centered on I is the fundamental problem. Therefore, the fundamental problem of I, the smallness being centered on I, has to be resolved. That can be resolved only when you resolve very ahankara, isn't it? You discover the infinite. But so that other people having experiences, any experience can one have through any amount of practice of meditation. Those experiences may make the person feel feel good for some time. That is not moksha. That is not jnanam. That is useless for us. The very purpose of this Kenopu second chapter part itself is to make the very first mantra begins with this doubt only. Because when people tell, we don't know anything. You know, the whole jagat appreciates somebody's experience. Oh, he had the experience of God, he had the experience of Krishna, he had the experience of Rama, he experienced Jesus Christ. So what? We don't look down upon such experiences. Oh, even to have such experiences, they must have worked very, very, very hard. Hard means what? Worked very hard to have such experiences. But still, it's experience. The experience is of a given, that experience, why I'm saying, they would not have had the object of experience before. That would not have been there before. The same experience, the object of experience will not be there later also. Please understand, the object of, no, whether they had experience of any given form, given thing, that object of experience would not have been there before, that will not be there later also. That is only available in a given time, in a given situation, at a given place. Therefore, this time is finite in nature. Isn't it? So we have to be very clear. It is why here we say not any experience means the object of experience only finite in nature. The experience is finite in nature. The experience will change. Isn't it? Therefore here, what is unchanging? What is unchangeable? Unchanging, unchangeable is only one vastu, that is the very swarupam of the knower, very truth of the knower. The nature of the knower is the only unchanging, unchangeable, infinite reality. Infinite thing, isn't it? Infinite vastu. Alone is infinite. Therefore we say, that's why he says, we are not gone to this. Avijnatam vijanatam, vijnatam avijanatam. Mainly it is said, any experience should not be mistaken for aparoksha jnanam. Experience may be of the sagunam brahma, but not nirvisesham, nirupadikam, nirgunam brahma. Yeah. Suppose we say that such that experience of Kali and all, that is all called sagunam. In fact, we don't need to work hard for the experience of sagunam brahma. You know why? Every object you experience is sagunam brahma only already. You know, every fraction of second, in every bit of experience, the object you are experiencing is what? Sagunam brahma. Isn't it? Brahman experienced, you know, a given time, given place, condition, given situation is what? Condition is what? Sagunam. Sagunam Brahma. That's called, we call it Ishvara. Sagunam Brahma. Oh, waking state, I experience this world. Okay? Object of experience. What is it? Sagunam Brahma. Why Sagunam Brahma? Because it is finite in nature. Why it is finite in nature? It is available, isn't it? It was not there night. It is now. It will not be again later on. Change. Then there will be Swapna. What about dream? Sagunam Brahma. What about your deep sleep state? Isn't it? There also is what now? You know, unmanifest. So there is Sagunam only. You have to understand Nirgunam is what? You can cognitively remove all this, understand what it is. That is what is Nirgunam. As the very nature. So here, that's why yasya amatam tasya matam, matam yasya sahana veda. He does not know the one for whom Brahman is the known. He says again, plural word he uses, vijanatam, for those people for whom Brahman is the known, they do not know. For them, Brahman is really not known. Vijnatam avijanatam. Brahman has actually really understood correctly for those who, for whom Brahman is not the known object of knowledge. Okay. This is the literal meaning of the mantra. Let us read the Bhashyam now. Sishyacharya Samvadat Pratinivritya Svena Rupena Shrutihi Samasta Samvada Nivritam Arthameva Bodhayati. See the first sentence. Shrutihi bodhayati. Here, Shrutihi, even though it means the entire Veda, here every mantra from the Veda is also what? Shrutihi. And Upanishad is also what? Shrutihi. Isn't it? Upanishad mantra is also what? Shrutihi. So, Shrutihi here means this particular third mantra, isn't it? In the second part of the Kena Upanishad is mentioned by the word Shrutihi. The Shrutihi, which means this particular mantra here, Bodhayati. This mantra again reconfirms, reascertains, means Bodhayati teaches. Mantra teach. This mantra teaches. What does it teach? It says, Samasta samvada nivruttam arthameva. Samasta samvada nivruttam artham eva bodhayati. This mantra teaches again the same thing. What the same thing that this mantra teaches? The mantra teaches the final conclusion arrived at through all proper discussions, samasta samvada nivrittam, through proper teaching. See, discussion, proper discussion means what? Proper discussion means discussion based on the traditional teaching, sampradayika sikshanam. Samasta means entire, all. Samvada means discussion here. Samasta samvada nivrittaha. Samasta samvada nivrittaha artaha means what? The final meaning, the final conclusion, the correct understanding arrived through appropriate discussion based on the entire teaching. Isn't it? That is the same thing, same the conclusion, the same conclusion arrived at through the proper discussion based on the proper teaching is repeated by the Shruti here. A Shruti restates, a Shruti teaches the same conclusion. Talks about the same conclusion. Why? Because before, this same thing what is this revealed by this mantra has already been discussed in the form of what? The same teaching presented by this mantra has already been given in the form of the discussion between, the dialogue between the teacher and the student. Before, the teaching was in the form of the dialogue between the student and the teacher in the same Upanishad. Now, Upanishad, without, isn't it, presents the same teaching by itself, without involving the teacher and the student. That's what is the meaning of the first sentence. Sishya Acharya Samvadat Pratinivrutya. Coming out of, are getting back, isn't it? Pratinivrutya, from the coming out of the discussion, a dialogue between this teacher and the student, svena rupena by itself, coming out of the dialogue between the teacher and the student means what? Leaving this teacher and the student aside, no? The Shruti by itself is teaching the same thing what has been discussed in the form of dialogue between the student and the teacher. Because earlier we have already seen the same thing, But now who is teaching this mantra? What the teaching content of this mantra? Who is telling? There is no teacher. Is it a student? No. It is neither the teaching of the, it is neither the expression of the teacher nor is the expression of the student. But who is saying this mantra then? Upanishad by itself is saying. Does it say anything new? No. Same thing it is saying. What does it say? What has been discussed earlier. In the form of what? Dialogue. Between the student and the teacher. Is it clear now? This is the first sentence. Because who is saying this now? Yasya amatam tasya matam. Matam yasya sahana veda. Avijnatam vijanatam. Vijnatam avijanatam. Who says this? Not the teacher, not the student. Who says this? Upanishad by itself says, Svena rupena shrutihi samasta samvada nivrittam arthameva bodhayati. Yasya amatam ityadina. By this mantra it repeats the same, teaches the same thing. Now let us go now. See, first word of the mantra is what? Yasya. Isn't it? Now he is giving the meaning. Yasya. For the word yasya, what is the commentary of Shankaracharya? See that. Brahma vidaha amatam avijnatam aviditam brahma iti. For one word is yasya, you know, for the yasya relative pronoun, he gives this many meanings. See? Brahma vidaha. Yasya means the one No, the one who is the knower of Brahman. For him, amatam, the one for whom, the knower of Brahman, for whom, amatam. Amatam means what? What is the meaning of amatam? Here's the meaning, avijnatam. Amatam is equal to what? Avijnatam. Avijnatam is equal to what? Aviditam. You have learned three words now. Amatam, avijnatam, aviditam. Aviditam is a, vidita is a participle, mata is a participle, vijnata is a participle. When add a, becomes what? Negative meaning, isn't it? Amatam, avijnatam, aviditam means unknown. Yasya brahma vidaha avijnatam amatam aviditam. The one, the knower of Brahman for whom Brahman is not the known. Not the known. The next, see the next word now. Matam abhiprayaha nischayaha. Matam means here, no, it's opinion actually. Matam is opinion. Tasya matam abhipraya nischayaha. Tasya matam. Matam here might not know. Jnatam samyak brahma. Jnatam samyak brahma iti abhiprayaha. Iti nischayaha. Okay, for him, Brahman is definitely very well known. Which means he has aparoksha jnanam of Brahman. The one for whom Brahman is not the known, not an object of knowledge, for such a person, Brahman is what? Well known, well understood, which means he has aparoksha jnanam. This is the, okay, here abhiprayaha means nischayaha. Definite, this is definitely what? This is definite that he knows, he has aproksha jnanam of Brahman. Has clear knowledge of Brahman. Is it clear? Samyak, Brahma samyak jnatam. Jnatam samyak Brahma. Samyak means well. Well means what? That adverb well, what does it mean? It means clearly, doubtlessly. In this context, samyak means what? Samyak always describes what it goes with, isn't it? Samyak means well. I cook well means, what does it mean there? Cook well, there well means what? No, it means a taste, isn't it? The flavor, everything. Here, samyak, well known, well understood. Samyak, jnatam samyak brahma means it is clearly, doubtlessly understood. Is it? Samyak jnatam brahma iti abhiprayaha. Don't sleep. Iti abhiprayaha. Then, tasya punaha matam jnatam viditam. See? If you read Shankara, you will learn a lot of words. You might feel, I have already told everything. I am reading it. I am not repeating, okay? Now here, punaha, matam. Matam means what? Jnatam. Jnatam means what? Viditam. Viditam means what? Jnatam, matam, viditam. All the three words are synonyms. What does it mean? The known, isn't it? Literally means known, not the known. Known, but I had taken it as the known. Maya brahma viditam iti nischayaha. Oh, Brahman is definitely known by me iti, if anyone has. And the thinking. Then, na veda yeva. He does not know Brahman at all. The one for whom Brahman is not the known, he understands Brahman clearly, doubtlessly. The one for whom Brahman is the known, he does not know Brahman at all. Why? Because any object of knowledge is finite in nature. Any object of experience is finite in nature. And here, if for him Brahman is an object of knowledge or experience, then what he knows is Sagunam Brahma, the finite in nature, which means he has not understood the infinite reality Brahman, which is the very swarupam of the subject, which can never become the object. Na veda eva saha. He does not know at all. Saha na brahma vijanati. Na veda eva saha na brahma vijanati saha. He does not know at all. Have you got it, Rataji? Every word I have said, nobody have missed here. Because now you know little Sanskritam, I feel really inspired to teach correctly. See, Pritji has done a good job in 4 months' time when I'm not here. I feel good to say, go by every word. Now when people don't understand, I always just jump and go. I don't feel like explaining every word. Now you know some Sanskrit, I feel nice to teach. Okay. Sa vidvat, sa vidvat, avidushoho yathoktau pakshau avadharayati. Sa vidvat, avidushor yathoktau pakshau avadharayati. Avignatam amatam aviditameva brahma vijanatam samyak viditavatam ityetat. So, sa vidvat yathoktau pakshau avadharayati. What has been said earlier? Yathoktau, yatha uktau, you know, what has been said earlier? What has been said earlier? The one for whom Brahman is the known, he does not know Brahman at all. The one for whom Brahman is not the known, he knows Brahman clearly, doubtlessly. The one for whom Brahman is the known, he does not know Brahman at all. These two statements have been said earlier. The same thing, avadharayati, yathoktau pakshau, isn't it? Avadharayati. Avadharati means now reinforces. Avadharati, he confirms, he restates, ascertains here. He means avignatam amatam aviditam eva brahma vijanatam samyag viditavatam ityetat. Samyag. See, vijanata means what? Samyak viditavatam. Those people who have understood Brahman very clearly, which means who have aparoksha jnanam of Brahman. When I say who have aparoksha jnanam of Brahman, means what? Those people for whom the absolute reality, limitless reality, Brahman is the very swarupam of the knower, the subject of knowledge, I. Okay, for them, for such people, Brahman is what? He says, Brahman is never an object of knowledge. Samyak viditavatam. Samyak viditavatam means what? For those people who have clearly, doubtlessly understood the real reality. Kandavar. Kandavar vindalan solvangalya. Kandavar. Those people who have real, those who have the clear vision of the truth. In Bhagavad Gita uses this word Atmadarshi, Brahmadarshi, etc. Viditavatam, no? Vijanatam and Viditavatam, Arindavarhalak, Paramburale Unmail, Telivaha Arindavarhalak, Paramburul Urupodam, Ariyapadu Purul Allah. one sentence Tamil. Now, for those who have clearly understood the reality, for them Brahman is never an object of knowledge. Brahman is neither the subject of knowledge, you should know that also. Brahman is neither the object of knowledge, nor is Brahman the subject of knowledge. Brahman is the very swarupam of the knower. Truth of the knower. Is it clear? I'll explain with the example now. See, vijnatavatam vijanatam, for those people for whom Brahman is clearly understood, you know, who have understood Brahman clearly, doubtlessly, who have aproksha jnanam of Brahman, for them Brahman never is the object of knowledge. This is the restated, which means they can never say we know Brahman, nor can they say we do not know Brahman. They need not say we do not know Brahman. They will not say we know Brahman also, because for such a person, he say what? Aham Brahmasmi. I am Brahman myself. He doesn't need to say that. Okay, for him, that is the understanding he has, he should have. Why do we say this Brahman, the reality, is not the subject of knowledge, not the object of knowledge, said here. When you say Brahman is not the object of knowledge, it is also understood Brahman is not subject of knowledge also. Brahman is the very swarupam of the knower, the subject of knowledge. For which I gave this example in my previous class, I think Aparokshanubhuti class as Atmabodha class, I don't remember somewhere I gave this example. How the subject does not become the object. Understand. Thereafter you can arrive at, you know, what it means by saying swarupam of the subject, truth of being, the truth of the subject. See, the opaque things shine. The opaque things shine means opaque things are illumined, brought to light. Opaque things shine means opaque things are brought to light. Opaque things are illumined. So opaque things are illumined means there is illumination. Illumined means there are objects of illumination. The opaque things are objects of illumination. That because there is illumination, there are objects of illumination. Object of illumination, have to remember this sentence, object of illumination, opaque things are objects of illumination. And there is illumination, and which implies what? There is the subject of illumination. Without the illuminator, the subject of illumination, there cannot be the illumined, the object of illumination. When you say opaque things are all illumined, they are all objects of illumination. Which means there is illumination, which means there is an illuminator, the subject of illumination. Now your aim is to arrive at, isn't it, the truth of the illuminator, illumination and the illumined. Isn't it? So what do you do now? Illuminator, you search for the illuminator. What is the illuminator? Who is the illuminator? Who is the subject of illumination? And you arrive at illuminator is none other than the light. Step by step. Which means there is no illuminator other than the light. When you discover this, you arrive at what? Illuminator is light. When you say you have resolved the illuminator in the very light, you have stumbled upon, you have arrived at the substance called light. Isn't it? You resolve the illuminator, subject of illumination, in the very light. Isn't it? That light is neither the subject, the illuminator, nor is it the object of illumination. Why? Light by itself, okay, light is not an object of illumination, you know very well. Because there's nothing else to illuminate light. Everything else other than light is only opaque. The opaque things, we don't talk about with the between the opaque and the light. Don't go beyond anything else. The opaque things, what is, all that is here is opaque things other than the light. Therefore, opaque thing which is dependent on the very light to come to light cannot illumine the light. It is dependent on the very light to be illumined. Therefore, opaque is object of illumination. And the light, isn't it? You are at the light now. What is the light? Is the very truth of the illuminator. Swarupam of the illuminator. Which means when you search for the illuminator, you resolve the illuminator in the very light. Saying illuminator is light. That equation is what now? Because if the light is not there, there cannot be the illuminator. In the absence of light, illuminator disappears. Then illumination goes. Illumined also will disappear. Isn't it? Disappear means what? Becomes unillumined. So illuminator, light is, illuminator is. Light is not, illuminator is not. Therefore, illuminator is none other than light. You equate it, then you resolve the illuminator in the light intellectually. Is it? Illuminator has been resolved. Then you arrived at the light. Therefore, what is the truth or the swarupam of the illuminator? The light. Isn't it? This light, the swarupam of the illuminator, the truth of the illuminator, is neither the subject, the illuminator, nor the object of illumination. Why do we say it is not the illuminator also, subject also? Because from the standpoint of the light, illumination is not an action. It's not the action, isn't it? It's not a will-involved action. Light, the illumining is the very nature. Therefore, light is not an action. Therefore, illuminator is what now? Relatively, from the standpoint of the illumination, from the standpoint of the illumined, the illuminator status is given to the light. But light by itself is not the illuminator also. Is it clear? Light is neither the subject nor the object of knowledge. But light is available for recognition as the swarupam of the illuminator, the subject of illumination. Without, you cannot arrive at the light unless you search for the illuminator. You can never arrive at the light only through the illuminator. You arrive at the light as the very swarupam of the illuminator. You resolve the illuminator there. Is it clear now? Then you understand the light is never an object of illumination. Later on you can say light is not even the subject of illumination. But light is the very truth of the illuminator, the subject of knowledge. Light is the very truth of the illumination. Light is the very truth of the illumined also. Without whose presence there cannot be the illuminator, there cannot be the illumination, there cannot be the illumined. Illumined will be as good as non-existent without the illumination. Illumination cannot be without the illuminator. Illuminator cannot be without the light. Therefore, light is the very truth, satyam of the illuminator, illumination and the illumined. But light is distinct but not distant. Similarly, here Brahma Chaitanyam, the consciousness here, the infinite reality, the consciousness, never an object of knowledge. Because the whole jagat, everything in this jagat is dependent on, is it? Dependent in order to shine, in order to have the status of being existent, it is dependent, you know, it needs to be dependent on the being known. It has to become the known. Only then it has the status of being existent. Being unknown, it is as good as non-existent. The whole jagat, everything else in this jagat, in order to be, it has to be known. To be known, it is dependent on the knowledge being there. For the knowledge to be there, there must be the knower. Understand? So the very known, the known, when you say, the whole prapancha, everything else in this universe, subtle or gross, everything should be reduced to one word, the known. That is why the whole universe is known by the term lokaha. Lokyate iti lokaha. The whole one word is enough. The known means not one object of knowledge. Everything in the world is what? The known comes under the category of lokaha only. Lokaha. Now why? Lokaha never becomes the loki. The known never becomes the knower. Please understand, this object of knowledge will never become the subject of knowledge, the knower. Opaque will never become the illuminator. Opaque is the ever illumined. So also the known universe is what? Ever the illumined, ever the known. Never does the jagat, never does anything in the universe become the knower. Understand? Everything in the universe is the known. There is no knower in the world. Okay, everything is the known only. But the known has a status of being the existent, can exist, can have existence only when it is becomes the known. Therefore, the known universe, which is dependent, is it on the knower, the knowledge to become the known, how can it illumine the knower? Listen, how can know the knower? Therefore, knower never becomes the object of knowledge. The whole jagat being the known, being dependent on the very knower to become the known, thereby to become existent, the known object of world can never be know the knower. For knower will never be the object of knowledge. Knower is ever the subject of knowledge. Known is ever the object of knowledge. Therefore, the known is means known shines, isn't it? The known means the known implies the knowledge being there. The knowledge implies the knower being there. Then you search for the knower. Who is the knower? You reduce everything else is known means the knower. I am the knower. You are the knower. Who are you? To know who the knower is, I am the knower. You search for the knower, you will understand what you are. Knowing who the knower is, knowing what you are, in fact. The knower is none other than consciousness, the infinite reality, Brahman. You have resolved the knower in Brahma, the consciousness. Resolve the knower in consciousness. Now you ask, is consciousness the knower? So consciousness is not Brahman. Brahman, the consciousness, is not an object of knowledge. Never an object of knowledge. Is not a subject of knowledge, the knower also. But Brahman, the consciousness, is the very swarupam of the knower. The very truth of the knower. He resolved the knower in consciousness. Then what now? I, the knower, am Chaitanyam Brahma, consciousness. Therefore, the consciousness is what? The knower, consciousness is not the knower means. Knowing is not an action on the part of consciousness, the very swarupam of the consciousness, Atma. The Atma is what? Brahma. Knowing is not an action, very swarupam. How do you know that? Without the consciousness, there cannot be knower. There cannot be. There is no knower without consciousness. There cannot be without. There cannot be knowledge without the knower. There cannot be known without the knowledge also. Therefore, there cannot be knower, known, knowledge without the consciousness. Therefore, you arrive at the consciousness through the knower, then resolve the knower in consciousness. Understand Brahman, the infinite reality, the consciousness, the Atma, as a swarupam of the knower. Then you say, not only the knower, the swarupam of the knower, knowledge and the known. Understand? Therefore, avijanatam vijnatam. It is what now? Brahman is ever, never the known for the never. The known means never an object of knowledge for those who know Brahman clearly. So what does it mean? Now you will understand what is the nature of the aparoksha jnanam. It is not the pratyaksha jnanam. It is not, isn't it? It is not pratyaksha jnanam. It is not paroksha jnanam. It is Aparoksha jnana means it, Brahman is never neither an direct object of knowledge, not an indirect object of knowledge. It is not even a subject of knowledge. It is the very swarupam of the knower, known, and the knowledge. How do you arrive at it? Only through the knower you arrive at it. Understand? Because we are arriving at reality, consciousness, through the knower alone, we mistake it by, oh, Brahman is available for recognizing the subject of knowledge. Of course, as you can say, but isn't it, Brahman is arrived at as the swarupam of the subject of knowledge, the knower. This is aparoksha jnana. Vijnatam viditam brahma avijanatam. You want to read it now? Vijnatam viditam brahma. So, Brahman is the known for whom avijanatam asamyag darshinam. Asamyag darshinam means what? For whom? For those people whom? For whom? For those people whom? Who do not know Brahman clearly, who have not understood his teaching clearly. For those people for whom teaching is not clear at all. Something they understand, okay? Many people understand. Very first class in Vedanta, they understand. They go back saying, I am not body. Afterwards, they remain confused forever. I am not the body. But then what am I? That they don't... We don't want to know what, I am not the body. You don't need many classes, okay? 2 minutes are enough. 2 minutes. First class, 2 minutes. Second minute. And afterwards, with that little fact, understand, little fact, we start blabbering all over, I'm not the body, I'm not the body, I'm not the body. And then continues to be confused, more and more, getting more and more confused, getting more and more exposed to wrong teachings, and getting more and more confused, and trying to confuse others also, and trying to be happy by confusing others also. Somehow we keep on, and then claiming ourselves to be Vedanta students and teachers, philosophy students. You know, somehow we keep ourselves, somehow we keep us in good humor. Try to be, you know. I mean, we find more people like us also, then we feel happy. Because, oh, many people have the same idea like us, which means we feel part of the something, and then we feel emotionally better, we feel emotionally good. Somehow that keeps us going. So it's all, what now? So here, asamyag darshinam indriya mano buddhishu eva atma darshinam. Indriya mano buddhishu eva atma darshinam iti artaha natu atyantameva avyutpanna buddhinam. Still they have eye sense only in the body mind sense complex. See, unless and until, what does it mean by saying they still have asamyak darshi means those for whom reality is not clear, the teaching is not clear, for whom still eye sense is there only in the body mind complex. Indriya mano buddhishu eva, even not in the body. Indriya mano buddhishu eva atma darshinam. They still have eye sense in the mind, intellect, and the sense organs. They have not yet resolved the knower. See, they might have negated the known as anatma. But still, they still have not resolved the knower. Which means knower has to be resolved in consciousness. Brahma, isn't it? Knower has to be resolved. And you can resolve the knower only when you know knower is consciousness. That you had to equate. Knower is consciousness. And for which you should know there is no knower other than consciousness. Because you're searching for the knower, and you cannot stumble upon anything else other than consciousness. And this resolution is what? Again, purely cognitive. Atyantameva avyutpanna buddhinam. Vyutpanna buddhihi means those who are clear. Clear people of right, a clear understanding. Avyutpanna buddhinam means those are not yet clear. For whom still the essence is in the mind, intellect and sense organs. May not be in the body. But still they do not have objectivity. Which means they have not resolved the knower. They have not distinguished the knower. They have not resolved the knower. See, unless they are able to distinguish the knower from the known, they cannot search for the knower. They cannot resolve the knower. They cannot know who the knower is. Unless without distinguishing the knower from the known, the knower is distinct from the known. The known itself is not very clear. Not just the body alone, isn't it? Even the sense organs and the mind and intellect, all of them had to be seen as the known. The knower has to be distinguished even from the mind, intellect, even the sense organs also people distinguish. Mind and intellect. The knower has to be distinguished from the mind and intellect also. Mind and intellect also should be understood as the known very clearly. Then distinguish the knower, then search, understand who this knower is. Then you will choicelessly you will stumble upon the consciousness, which means you will resolve the knower in consciousness only. Isn't it? Then you can say what? This one knower swarupam is consciousness. The swarupam of illuminator is light. Isn't it? The truth of the illuminator is light. You cannot deny the existence of the illuminator. You cannot deny the existence of knowledge. You cannot deny the existence of deny the existence of the illuminator, illumination and the illumined. They're all there because you're perceiving. You cannot deny your own perception. In your perception, there is the illumined, there is the illumination, there is the illuminator. Isn't it? But you mistake the illumined, illumination and the illuminator for satyam. You should not say they are non-existent, unreal. Illumination or the illumined or the illuminator is not unreal because you are perceiving them, isn't it? They are not unreal. But are they real also? No. Which means they are not real means and what is real actually then? What is satyam then? That's all mithya. Neither unreal nor real, which is mithya. What is satyam then? What is that without which all the three are not possible? That is the swarupam, truth. Isn't it? Therefore you can never arrive at the light as the swarupam of the illumined directly. You can never arrive at the light as swarupam of the illumination also. You have only through the illuminator, you arrive at the light as the swarupam of the illuminator. Thereby you understand what? The swarupam of the illumination, the illumined also is the light, being the light. Okay? So here also, that is why you can never arrive at the Atma, the consciousness being the swarupam of the known. No. That you can arrive at later on. How? for which you had arrived at the Swarupa of the illumination being consciousness should become very clear. For which you had to know the Swarupa of the illuminate, the knower being consciousness. Therefore, that is why the avyutpanna buddhinam. Nahi tesham vijnatam asmabihi brahma iti matthi bhavati. For such people, you know, nahi tesham vijnatam asmabihi brahma iti matthi bhavati. The last bit we'll see next class. The last bit, okay? Because I want to stop with one point here. I made one thing very clear today. One thing I made very clear. See, that's why simply Upanishad says, states this one sentence. For people for whom Brahman is the known, they do not know Brahman. They don't have clarity. For whom Brahman is not the known, they know. Why? Because the subject can never become the object. Object is ever the object, nor can the object become the subject of knowledge. The object of knowledge can never become subject of knowledge. The subject of knowledge can never become the object of knowledge. Subject is a subject, object is the object. Isn't it? But here, we are not interested in the object, nor are we interested in subject also. We are interested in the infinite reality. But the Shastram tells us what? The infinite reality is available, isn't it? Only as the Swarupam of the subject of knowledge, the knower. And you do not know. How can you arrive at the Swarupam of the knower, the subject of knowledge, if you do not know who the knower is, first of all? You do not even know that knower is different from the known. We are so, isn't it? We are not able to distinguish the knower from the known, first of all. Because our knower, in fact, the I am the knower means, you have the knower, I sense where? In the very body, the known. You have I sense the knower's buddhi in the known. Where is the question of distinguishing the knower, first of all? Knowing the swarupa of the knower is later on. When you think, I am the, you are the knower, and when you have, I am the, no, you are the knower, and you have I sense in the body, which means, for you, knower means, knower is included what? The body is also included in the knower. Luckily, not objects external to the senses, you don't mistake them for the knower. Because you don't have I sense there. When you say, I am the body in the physical body, when you have I sense, when the sense organ, when you have I sense, when the mind and intellect, when you have I sense, naturally, all the known are mistaken for the knower. Knower I. Therefore, the very problem is, you have to be helped to distinguish, first of all, the knower from the known. In not only things external to the sense organs are the known, even the body, even the sense organs, even the mind, even the intellect, that's a what? The known only. Which means there is a knower. How, even here, like the same example here, everything is illumined here. Isn't it? Everything is illumined here. And you just say there is illumination. And you are not able to distinguish, you have to distinguish the illuminator from the illumined illumination. It's all because inseparable. Because you cannot separate the illuminator and the illumination. You cannot separate the illumination and the illumined. You cannot separate the illuminator and the illumination and the illumined physically you cannot separate. Can you separate the illuminator, illumination and the illumined? Now I won't take this from this room to the other room. That is not the thing, isn't it? Physical separation of illuminator, illumined and the illumination is not possible. But still you have to distinguish what is the illumined. Then what is known by the term illumination, which means there is an illuminator. There is an illuminator, there is an illumination, there is the illumined. But they are physically inseparable. That is why its mistake is possible, error is possible. You have to be sharp enough to distinguish the illumined. See the illumined, then see there is illumination, then distinguish the illuminator from the illumined. Thereafter, there is illuminator, I do understand. There is illuminator, I do understand, no doubt. But what this illuminator is, who this illuminator is, only then you can arrive at the swarupam of the illuminator. Arriving at the swarupam is what? Arriving at the truth of illumination. Is it clear? When you arrive at it, then you understand the truth of all the three is one and the same. All the three are mithya. Differences are mithya. All three are mithya. All the three are what? One and the same satyam, Brahma. Okay? Therefore, what is the lesson? The subject of illumination can never be the object of illumination. Therefore, if anyone says, listen, similarly here, the knower, subject of knowledge, never becomes the object of knowledge. And the truth of the knower, therefore you have to distinguish the knower, then the truth of the knower is never the object of knowledge. If anybody says, I know Brahman, which means they have made Brahman an object of knowledge, which means they have not understood clearly. Therefore, yasya matam sahana veda. Vijanatam na vijnatam Brahma. Brahma is not known. The rest we'll see next class. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnapurnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Tat Sat. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.